welcome back to the Intel Report, the National Intel Report. I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for the recovering John Stadmiller. Reverend Ted Pike is our guest. Truthtellers.org is the website. The legislation that he's concerned about, and we should all be concerned about, is very, very apparent. The Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005, H.R. 2662, that's H.R. 2662. In the Senate, it's S-1145. That's S-1145. We have Russ in West Virginia. Russ, how are you doing today?
Well, it's been a long time since we talked, son.
I'm glad you're still with us, my friend.
Well, I'm going to get off subject just a hair here. I want to talk about a cycle. You know what a cycle is, right?
Certainly.
Now, I'm talking about a motorcycle. I'm talking about cycle of time.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Well, what I'm coming to find out here, see, I've been accused of being a provocateur. So what we got here is I'm 71 years old, so we got a 71-year-old, or 60 to 71-year-old, saying, lock, load, let's shoot them and get it over with. Then we got the 30-year-olds coming in saying, no, we can't do that. And then 30 years later, we got those same 30-year-olds, now 70, getting on the air saying, lock and load, let's shoot them. And a whole new batch of 30-year-olds saying, no. So now I'm in a dilemma here because I don't see us going anywheres unless we take the bull by the horn.
There's very little organization to pull something like that off.
It takes the individuals.
And
now, my scenario here is all we need is maybe 15 people in each county that feel like I feel or close to it. Talk to your sheriff, jam the Constitution down his throat, and if you don't like it, tough. But you're not going to get anything on your knees. Now, I don't have nobody bothering me. I fight the driving without license issue, and I get pretty violent about it. And I feel that that's the only way you're going to get anywheres, is speak out and let them know that, hey, you don't have a wimp here, you mess with me, you violate the Constitution, and I'm coming after you with everything I have. And I find that they will leave you alone.
Especially when people are educated and realize Title 10 of the U.S. Code, 311A, the militia of the United States consists of all able-bodied males at least 17 years of age.
Yeah.
And so we have a right to defend our country.
Well, I'm talking about the 10 square miles and the jurisdiction issue here.
Well, certainly that's been foiled upon us for a long time back. Yeah.
I'm off the subject here, and I'll probably catch you Thursday when we're more on the right subject.
Okay.
And by the way, I'd like to come out to Oklahoma and get you to teach me how to golf.
Oh, jeez. Well, Oklahoma.
You got it. Well, that's where you are, isn't it?
Oklahoma's not a state to golf in, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's okay. All you got to promise me, all you got to do to promise me is that you make me up a bunch of golf balls with traitorous looking heads on it.
Okay.
All right. See you.
All right. Thanks, Russ. Bye-bye. We'll be back with Patrick in Pennsylvania and Reverend Ted Pike. Stay with us.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And once again, I'm Chris Gerner, filling in for John. The call-in number, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, on the website, truthtellers.org. If a previously introduced bill is not doing well, having died in an unfavorable committee, one legislative ploy is to reintroduce it under a different title and wording. It may find a more favorable committee. Thus, on May 26th, the ADL introduced the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005, H.R. 2662. It is virtually identical to the Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005, except that it provides special federal protection for gender identity as well as sexual orientation. The ADL, having been so badly bloodied by events of the last year, is now hoping that the American people will gradually forget that hate laws end free speech. That's right, hate laws end free speech. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, the ADL lobbies, trades, votes, bribes, and blackmails as many members of Congress as possible to regain the overwhelming support they had last year. It is vital that those who love freedom, especially talk show hosts, sound the alarm. And there's the point. It's about shutting people like us up, isn't it, Ted?
Oh, absolutely. And this last summer, on August 28th, the most popular talk show station in Quebec City, which was CHOI FM, Choi FM, was dissolved, putting 33 employees on the streets out of work because one of their talk show hosts had made a comment which was critical of African dictators, African black dictators, for having their children educated in the universities of Canada. This was considered an aspersion against black people, a hate crime, and therefore they lost that talk radio station. Well, that's a portent, a kind of a telescope into the future of what is going to happen to talk radio, publishing, the pulpit here in America. Any kind of freedom of expression is going to come to an end if this bill is passed, and it could come fairly soon. As I was mentioning earlier, it could be, if this bill were passed, literally within months, you would be receiving, directives from the FCC listing new categories of obscenity and criminal activity, slander and violence and harassment, which would include criticizing the homosexual lifestyle, criticizing abortionist doctors, criticizing witches, warlocks, and even pedophiles and so on. That's what's going on in England right now. In England, there's a bill which is being promoted by the government of England. It's called the Racial and Religious Hatred Bill. They already have an ADL bill there which protects Jews from criticism, but this one will also protect Satanists, pagans, religious sects, atheists, humanists, and so on. And what we see in all these countries is that once you get the foot in the door, giving special federal protection to one group, then everybody wants on the anti-hate bandwagon.
Let me ask you, Reverend Pike, do you know what the Congressional Medal of Honor looks like?
Well, roughly.
It's an upside-down five-pointed star.
Uh-huh.
Now, what is your connotation to that being the Congressional Medal of Honor, the upside-down five-pointed star? What is your thought about that?
I guess I haven't thought about it.
Isn't that Lucifer's symbol?
Well, certainly the pentagram is Luciferian.
The upside-down pentagram,
uh-huh,
with the goat of Mendez, the horns,
uh-huh,
that is really Lucifer's symbol, the upside-down five-pointed star. That is,
yes,
the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's on our website. It's right on AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K. Now, this is what I keep harping on for our military, what it's been doing since the war between the states. They've been giving out this Congressional Medal of Honor. They proudly wear this upside-down five-pointed star, but it's actually the symbol of Lucifer, Satan.
Yes.
So, in all consequence, every war we've been in, just because of the symbolism of the Congressional Medal of Honor, given to the highest Medal of Valor for gallantry, tells you something about all these wars we've been involved in, even to this day right now. And that's my feeling at this point in time, that these wars, war is for profit and no freedom.
Yes, well, we would certainly say that more than ever, in my opinion, concerning the war in the Middle East. The public impression which is given is that we are there spreading American democracy in the region. But the truth of the matter is that we are actually there making the Middle East safe for Israel, preparing the way for even greater expansion in that region.
That makes sense, because we went into Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction, and Israel is loaded with weapons of mass destruction.
Yes.
And it's been monitored, or actually chronicled by CNN, I believe. And that can be found on sweetliberty.org.
Yes.
Let's take another call. The phone-in number, 800-313-9443. We extend this time slot to Reverend Pike because of the severity of this legislation 800-313-9443. Are you able to stay a little longer, Ted?
I can stay as long as you want me.
Okay, let's take Patrick in Pennsylvania. Patrick, welcome to the broadcast. Hello, Patrick.
Hi.
Yeah.
Reverend Pike, I really appreciate what you're trying to do, but are you familiar with the Legislative Reference Bureau?
No, I'm not.
Okay. These are our true lawmakers. Our legislators do not write the laws. I'll give you a brief history of, and I believe it's connected with the ADL.
Uh-huh.
In 1875, the American Bankers Association was formed in Saratoga Springs, New York. And in 1878, they had gotten together with a bunch of lawyers from 13 different states, and they formed the American Bar Association.
Hmm.
And at that point, there was a three-year project which involved the culmination of the Uniform National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws. Now, it's their job to make sure that every law that's passed in every state goes throughout all the states. In essence, it's to create a conglomeration of laws that everybody has to abide to. This, in essence, is leading up to the one world government, the international criminal courts, and so on. I really believe that we have to eliminate that entity of the Legislative Reference Bureau.
Uh-huh.
Because they are our true lawmakers, not our legislators. That's why we hear that the legislators sponsor a bill. They do not write the laws anymore. That's why we have so many ambiguous laws.
Yes.
Now, Patrick, you've done your research. Where did you find this information out about the Legislative Reference Bureau?
Well, we had to go through a lot of books. We went through a lot of states in this country tracking this thing down. And now it's in a lot of their pamphlets on how to pass the bill. Prior to our investigations, it was never in there. I guess we forced their hands, so now they put it in their pamphlets that they give to school children and other people, showing how the laws are passed. And we had discovered this almost 15 years ago, and nobody wants to hear us. Everybody keeps going off on their own special interests in all these different directions, and these are the true lawmakers that we have to go after and eliminate these entities.
Now, what do you suggest we do to learn more about the Legislative Reference Bureau?
I can leave my phone number with your producer or something, and we can get information to you.
Okay.
You know, the history of it, the creation of it, and everything, and actually what their real function is. And this is the reason why we have so many ambiguous laws in this country.
Well,
I mean, the legislators, in essence, they gave up their fiduciary duty to the judicial branch of government. So the reality of it is the judicial branch has overthrown the executive and the legislative branch.
Now you're talking.
That's why we have so many tyrannical laws coming down on us.
This started in 1878?
1875 is when the American Bankers was formed. And that was a connection of American bankers and international bankers.
Hmm.
We all know what the international bankers are all about.
Yeah. Well, this is all very, very interesting. And
well, Patrick, I'm very familiar, having chronicled how the ADL has worked clear back as early as 1964 in Canada to lobby the parliament in Canada, also here in the United States, testimony before Congress in favor of a hate bill in 1988, passage of the Hate Crime Statistic Act in 1990, and of all this legislative actions in the state, persuading 47 of the states to adopt an ADL hate law. And then, furthermore, I'm very familiar with the statements by the ADL, even as recently as last October, in which they were claiming that this Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act, this bill we are talking about here basically today, was pretty much their baby. It is the number one top item on their legislative agenda. They're very bitterly disappointed that it was defeated. Now, if you could provide me any kind of a tie-in between this organization and its banking affiliates and so on with the ADL and how they work together, I would appreciate that. And
I'm sure you realize that the international bankers were the ones that actually had financed and created the ADL.
Oh, of course, yes.
So in essence, there's the link that they've allowed the judicial branch of this government to overthrow the executive and the legislative branch, because in actuality, they've taken over the fiduciary duties of the legislatures in Congress and in our individual states.
Yes.
So this is the reason why their laws get passed and our laws just constantly die in committee.
How about
the ones that we want to have passed?
Why don't you leave your phone number with the board operator, and we'll get a hold of you.
Okay.
This is something we all need to know about. Thank you for your input. We'll be back to continue with Reverend Ted Pike. Truthtellers.org is the website, truthtellers.org. And keep in mind, from the U.S. Department of State, the report on anti-global Semitism released by the Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor, January 5th, 2005. I'll get into this as I can, but we'll continue to take phone calls with Reverend Ted Pike and the website, once again, that he associates himself with, truthtellers.org. Let's take John in Tennessee. And, John, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much. Reverend Pike, I've got a question and a comment. It may be a little off topic, but yet I don't believe it's too far off. And it's a little bit facetious because I already know what I believe to be the answer, but maybe for those that are listening. Why do you think it is that preachers have quit preaching biblical prophecy when we see the current events taking place now that would really be a time to start teaching current events in light of Bible prophecy?
Well, John, I am not sure they have ever been teaching biblical prophecy correctly. As far back as I can remember, my grandfather was a prophecy expert, and I inherited that kind of that interest or that gift, whatever. And his basic view of prophecy, I believe, was distorted. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that there are two second comings of Christ, for example, separated by 7 years, and that the rapture happens before that 7 year period. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that the Jews can go back to Palestine during the 20th century in a state of unbelief, and yet those have been solid convictions of modern prophecy teachers and evangelicals throughout this century. I believe that there's one second coming of Christ. It's the great shootout of the ages, and the Jews will be dashed from their great hopes of world dominion. Two-thirds of them will be slaughtered by the Antichrist forces, and a remnant will, out of tremendous, of the Holocaust to end all Holocausts, will turn to Jesus Christ at his second coming. But I believe that what we see today in Israel, contrary to what traditional prophecy teachers have taught us in this last century, is a counterfeit return. The people who came down there out of Russia and Eastern Europe, including Begin and Shamir and Golda Meir, and all of those people were Bolsheviks, communists, anarchists, Mensheviks, secular humanists who had no respect for Jesus Christ or even for the law of their own Torah. And yet evangelicals have proclaimed that this is the great fulfillment of biblical prophecy. God is smiling on the Jews. He's making the land blossom like a rose, and he's helping fight them, win military victories for them. I think that's all a lot of rubbish. I think what's happening in the Middle East today, the scripture says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And if God were really behind the return of the Jews to Palestine, it would not be full of bad blood and hitting back and forth and the stimulation of international Arab terrorism, as we see is the fruit of the Zionist experiment for the last 100 years.
John, did we lose you?
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
You don't believe at all then in the second coming of Christ, the rapture of the church?
Yes, absolutely. the first resurrection or the rapture of the church is a great singular event which comes with the single second coming of Christ after the Great Tribulation, which is called also the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the Jewish tribulation. Jesus comes, and when the angel of the archangel sounds and that trumpet blasts, Jesus comes like lightning, and the dead in Christ, as Paul, arise first, those who are dead in the graves, and then we who are remained. That is the rapture. Oh, yes, I believe it. We come in and we rise, both the dead and living in Christ, to meet him in the skies. But what the Hal Lindsey Schofield view says is that actually 7 years before the final coming of Christ, Christ comes the first time, separated by a period of 7 years. He comes in the first of the two second comings, and that is simply not scriptural. That is an idea which is easy to trace back several hundred years to Darby and Irvingism and so on in England, a spurious eschatological doctrine which has no basis really in solid biblical interpretation.
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Okay, well then how do you deal with the Bible where it says that he would come as a thief in the night?
Well, the whole world has been basically taken over with humanistic and rabbinical darkness and so on, and the Christian church is terribly persecuted to virtual extinction and restricted under the hate laws and the mark of the beast and all that kind of thing. And I believe that according to the prophecies of Daniel, the Antichrist is going to wear out the saints of the Most High. It will be a terrible prospect that is coming. And that's why I am working so hard while it is yet day to hold back that kind of darkness.
John, I appreciate your phone call. We need to move on. Thank you for your input. And certainly we have much to do in the next 30 minutes. We continue with Reverend Pike, Ted Pike, and this is the truthtellers.org website. It's all there. Stay with us. We'll be back with your calls and more.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Okay, we're back with Reverend Ted Pike. Truthtellers.org is the website. Let's take Bill in Connecticut. Bill, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, hi. Hey,
hello.
Am I on?
You're on. You're on.
Hi. Okay. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
Okay. I just wanted to say that now, our lawmakers, they're setting all these little fires all over the place to our houses. And, because they're little fires, they deny responsibility for burning down the house. Now, up here in Connecticut, I'm fighting the immigration battle. Meantime, they're taking our property. I see these hate crime laws that are coming into vogue. Bumped heads with the ADL. Every which way I go, I know these people. And it's like the War of the Worlds, you know? It's like these people are surrounded by this impervious shield that no matter what, you cannot stop them because they're going to get you another way. And I'm just wondering, is there going to be a common cold here that are going to take these guys out as it did in the War of the Worlds? If you...
Well, yes, there are many tentacles to this octopus, but what I have to do personally, Bill, is to concentrate on where I am seeing the very greatest threat, the most imminent threat, and sometimes even the most neglected threat to our freedoms. And this last summer, I was battling away on a number of talk shows trying to warn the nation about the big federal hate bill, which had been overwhelmingly approved by the Senate, 65-33, in June 15th. And tragically, I could not get the attention of the big right-wing conservative talk show hosts. I could not get through their agents, and They were mesmerized by the Bush-Kerry debate. They were morbidly fascinated by the genuine threat of the Patriot Bill and certainly of the conspiracy theories of 9/11. But I saw the imminent passage of the big federal hate bill as a tremendously big issue, and the ADL as the eye of an octopus, which is creating legislative confusion in this country. And so what I've done, Bill, is with my limited energies, I have concentrated on shining a very specific, a bright light upon the ADL. And some people would say, oh, that's anti-Semitic to criticize Jewish leaders. I don't think so. I think it's only in keeping with an illustrious tradition going back to the Hebrew prophets and John the Baptist and Christ himself, who took on the evil Jewish leadership, which was bringing the Jewish people into under anti-Semitism and bringing them to destruction. And so today what I have to do is I'm hammering away almost single-handedly, making the talk show circuit like a Paul Revere, calling the nation to perhaps put away a little bit of our distraction on some of these secondary issues and realize that this big federal hate bill is the central evil that I see it that will take away free speech. And if our free speech is taken away, tell you, nobody will be able to stand up on their soapbox anymore and protest the removal of the rest of our freedoms.
There it is.
Oh, I see the tie-in. Am I still on?
You're on.
Oh, yeah, I see the tie-in between the two. That's how come I'm wondering if maybe I should be refocusing my energy, because I see guys like names like Wolfowitz and Crystal and Rumsfeld and Weinstein. And by the way, Netanyahu, man, what's going on with that guy? Did he or did he not know that those bombs were going off? I've heard it both ways. I mean, what is going on here? Who's running this show here?
Well, you know, come on, we're just talking about another scenario that brought about the sinking of the Maine to bring us into the Spanish-American War, the sinking of the Lusitania, Pearl Harbor, you know, I mean, Gulf of Tonkin Resolution.
Did Netanyahu know about that or no?
It's been reported that he did, but that doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah, I know. They're backing off from it now. So I don't know. I'm getting whipsawed. I don't even know.
I wouldn't be concerned about the next Pearl Harbor because they're all created. Isn't that the way it is?
Well, I think one of the most effective things anybody can do right now is to get educated on the hate crimes issue, because this is an issue which is not going away. The ADL has made it very clear they're going to come back again and again and again and again.
Yes.
To Congress, no matter how many times it's defeated, they will push it back through. And we have to have people standing on their own walls, standing in the gap, even in the local churches and conservative groups. And by the way, I have a video, I think I mentioned it, Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians. This is a spellbinding and thoroughly documented 82-minute video shot in Canada and in front of ADL headquarters in Seattle and so on. This will give you a master's education on where hate laws have come from and what is their agenda to take away free speech. And that can be ordered online at truthtellers.org, or you can just call me here at home at 503-631-3808. That's 503-631-3808. If you have a credit card handy, I'll fire you off a copy first class. Show that in your church. Show that in your group. Children can watch it. Everybody can watch it. But it has been very effective in holding back the federal hate bill in several attempts the ADL has made in the last several years.
All right, guys. Keep hammering away. Thank you very much. Have a good night. I'll be in touch.
Thank you so much for your call, Bill. We move on. We're running out of time, so we move on to the next caller, Reverend Pike. We have Troy in New York. Troy, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know what's far worse than anti-Jewism or anti-Semitism?
Tell us.
Anti-Gentilism.
Explain.
Hatred of Gentiles. You know, I've seen a lot of films about World War II made by Jews, Schindler's List and the like, and I don't think they're intended for the audience to love Germans. I think they're intended for the audience to hate Germans. You know, and so I would like to see the B'nai B'rith and the ADL, or the Synagogue of Satan, press for laws against anti-Gentilism in anti-German films.
Interesting. Reverend Pike?
Yeah, there's a selective morality, Troy, in all of these hate laws. While ostensibly these hate laws protect Christianity as well as homosexuality, but the reality is that there's a liberal mindset in the Justice Departments of the Western democracies which says, well, Christians have been the cause of persecution against Jews, homosexuals, blacks, Indians, women, etc. for centuries. Therefore, it's payback time, and it's time to set the record straight and give the Christians a little bit of suffering in proportion to what they have visited to the rest of these groups.
If that were true, and if we're looking for the evil race, the evil nation, the evil gender, then what we would have to do is have a public debate and put the pros and cons, the goods and bads, the virtues and vices of all these races, nations, and genders in the balance till we decide who truly is godly, who truly is satanic, and who truly is mediocre.
Well,
say something about censorship.
Uh-huh.
What is censorship about? Censorship is about the liar or the slanderer trying to keep the truth from exposing him.
Yes.
It's about the liar trying to make his lies legal.
Yeah.
And therefore, the truth and any contradiction of his lies, crime.
Uh-huh. Well,
they want to keep the truth out of the ring.
That's a good point. Very, very good point. Well taken.
Because soon as they do that, then their lies become laws, and then they can proceed with all manner of evil that they have planned, just as they did in their Soviet Union.
There you go. Soviet Union, right on.
Let me say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I may go to the root of all of this evil. The problem that we have, it's Congress. The problem that we have is Congress. It was Congress that gave us this evil money. It was Congress that sent us into World War II, World War I, World War II, and now World War III.
Yes.
Congress, that is the problem. And I have no doubt that sooner or later, Congress is going to pass this this law, this Jewish synagogue of Satan law. Because, the root of the problem is that we don't represent ourselves. That these creatures who pretend to be our servants are really not, but they're our masters, and they have been selling us out for generations and generations. So until we free ourselves from Washington, D.C. and Congress, they will continue to betray us. Mark my words, because that's who they are and that's what they do. There's an excellent book by They Dare to Speak Out by Paul Findlay, a representative from Illinois for 22 years, who talks about how everyone's afraid to stand up to the Zionists because they know that more money will be placed. They will prop up an opponent in their district and give him enough money to defeat them. And so when we're represented by cowards such as these, we have to lose. They're going to cave in. So the only thing we can do is represent ourselves. That's the only way we can save ourselves from this Congress, because they're going to continue to damn us as they have for generations. And anyone who would be educated, I would direct to thehouseoftroy.com. Thehouseoftroy.com. And I thank you, gentlemen, for letting me speak, and keep up the good work.
Okay, thank you,
Troy. I might suggest, Troy, that there is an even deeper source of this problem. And we have to go back, really, to the Babylonian Talmud and the Zohar or Kabbalah if we are really going to get down to the sub-basement of what is wrong. We find all throughout these highly esteemed rabbinic sources of Jewish ethical and religious doctrine. We find hatred of Gentiles. We find hatred of Jesus Christ and Christians. We find everywhere ideas and suggestions within these religious authorities that someday the Jews will prevail over the nations and are encouraged to subvert Gentile institutions in order to do that. Now, that's not a pretty picture. That sounds like I'm bashing on Judaism. Actually, I am bashing upon the same evil Pharisaic leaders that Jesus Christ bashed upon and that John the Baptist bashed upon. These generation of vipers. This is what most Christians don't realize, is that the same Pharisees that Jesus excoriated are now the highest legal and ethical and religious authorities to modern or rabbinic religious Judaism in the world today. And with that kind of evil leadership, it is not amazing that there have been tremendous efforts throughout, especially modern times, to subvert Congress and subvert the churches and subvert the media and a Western civilization to turn us in the direction of an uplifting and an ascendancy of matters Judaic and religious, not only in the United States and Congress and in the media, but also in the Middle East.
Well stated, and fabulous information. Let's go to the calls again. We'll take Robert in Ohio now. The number to call, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We're sort of running out of time. We have Robert, Bob, John, and Ruth. Robert, welcome to the broadcast.
I'm glad to call in. I'd like to thank you for your work, and Reverend Pike. My question was going to be, and you pretty well answered it from what you answered John in Tennessee, that the church is hoodwinked by this false interpretation of the second coming of Christ, and they've blinded their eyes, it seems to me, and you answered that quite well, in regard to what Judaism really stands for, because it stands against Christ. And I have your book, and also I have your tape, Unholy Alliance.
Good.
And, you know, it took me reading the New Testament to realize that a lot of the men have made a lot of money off of this false interpretation of the second coming of Christ. And they've actually, many of these ministers who claim to be staunch Christians, they have actually compromised Jesus Christ for a pat on the back from Zionism. And they've caused a lot of Christians to support and to close their eyes to what's really going on in the Middle East, what's really going on in our own nation, and that they read the book of Acts, as you said, and really read it and realize that it was the Pharisees and the leadership of Israel that used the Roman law crucified our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also caused many deaths and persecution of Christians. So I'd like to commend you for your work. And,
well, thank you.
And again, thanks for taking a bold stand and not compromising and not being wishy-washy.
Well, the Bible and biblical prophecy are largely held in contempt by a lot of people who are concerned about Zionist encroachments today. They see evangelical Christians as wishy-washy and kowtowing to Israel and bidding Godspeed to these evil leaders in Israel, right or wrong, and so on. And, Robert, I have felt a very strong obligation to stand up and say, no, this is not what is in the New Testament. Jesus and the apostles were very, very aware and very savvy about the evil origins of modern Judaism. Jesus warned us to beware of the leaven or the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. And Paul says that unbelieving Israel, they're enemies of the gospel. And Jesus in Revelation describes such unbelieving Jews as the synagogue of Satan and so on. And so we have ample warning from the Bible. And I would encourage even our secular listeners today to open that Bible, and you'll find it salty and it's good and it's common sense warning about the very evils that have come upon us today.
Robert, thank you for your phone call. We're going to move along. We're running out of time. We'll take Bob in Kansas. Bob, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm going to hurry as fast as I can. Now, the church in Smyrna and the church in Philadelphia, as the angel writes to them, tells us that they're not even Jews and that they are the synagogue of Satan.
Well, no.
On their flag, that's what it says, and on their flag, the hexagram is a tantric Hindu symbol of a prostitute goddess.
Uh-huh.
Now, what part of that do the people of America understand? Part of their symbols are on their flag, or on their money, and on their presidential seal, national seal, and their money. Those are violations of the First Amendment and the first two commandments of God. That right side up, solid-bodied star you worship on your flag, it is the symbol of Ishtar, or the Queen of Heaven, goes all the way back to her. They put it on their goods as an amulet of protection.
Uh-huh.
And I've looked these up in the library. Now, we are full of idols. He brought us into a plentiful land, as it says in Jeremiah 2, and we defiled it from the first day we came in. Now, these people are not going to repent in this country. I admire your work. I agree with your last day's eschatology. I wish the people would jump up, burn the idols, tell the Zionists to go to hell where they belong, because that's all they are. They're children of hell, because they won't repent either. But our people are not going to repent. So I pray for catastrophe to take away all the stale water and all the staff of bread in this country. Maybe then they'll repent.
Bob,
bye.
Thanks for your phone call. We'll be back and wrap it up with John and Ruth and Reverend Ted Pike. Truthtellers.org is the website. That's truthtellers.org. Stay with us. We'll wrap it up momentarily. Welcome back to the broadcast. Reverend Ted Pike can be reached at 503-631-3808. That's 503-631-3808. The website is truthtellers.org. We're talking about the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005, H.R. 2662. In the Senate, it's S. 1145. Let's take John in New York. John, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how you doing? I had a couple thoughts on religion as far as, you know, prayer is very powerful, and as I feel as more people pray together, it's a factor of increased power.
Yes.
And as the government's trying to take and make a one uniform religion to pray for it, it recognizes the power source. And they're taking of all the pictures. The Chinese, when we were in China, did not like us taking the picture of their children. They said it robbed their soul. And as the infrastructure of this world order keeps taking more and more pictures of us, I was questioning whether if what you're feeling would be, is it robbing our soul as everybody keeps filming us and bombarding us with all this electronics, I guess?
Being photographed or videotaped or whatever is morally neutral. We rob our souls by the moral decisions we make against truth and against God and against love and compassion. We are children of our moral decisions. And in a related issue, we've heard the Jews described as satanic or the synagogue of Satan. Every Jewish child that comes into this world comes straight from God, a pure, eternal, free-willed soul. However, they are born into a system which militates against Jesus Christ and Christians to a large degree, and they are inclined and coerced to begin to make moral decisions against Jesus Christ. But not for a minute do I believe that anybody makes me evil. I'm not evil because I'm born a Jew or born anything else. I'm not evil because of photos taken of me or anything outside of the moral decisions or for right or wrong which my own free will soul makes.
I guess the only other question I got is I've thrown this out a couple times to where Jesus was being stoned for being a hypocrite and saying, you will be as I and greater. And I use that as a reference to say that, well, and I've also had some personal out-of-body action, which I'm going to tell you that I feel there's reincarnation and that we have to build ourselves. And it's exactly what we are. We're in a growing state, and we're children, and we're growing, and we make mistakes. But as we grow and get better, we'll be able to do as he and better.
John, I appreciate your call. We're really out of time. Thank you for your thoughts. Ruth in North Carolina, I'm sorry we have a little bit of time left. Go right ahead, Ruth.
Chris, my important comment is I think we should call this CASTA and what is that thing over about our nutrition?
Oh, Codex Alimentarius.
Codex. I think we need to start calling it genocide.
Yes.
Genocide.
Yes.
Genocide. And please give me that number for the Senate hate crime bill. I didn't get it.
The S 1145. It's S 1145.
And the other one is 2662.
H.R. 2662, correct.
Okay. And tell Reverend Pike to please point out that Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 tell about the synagogue of Satan. And if he will say that it's Revelations 2:9 and 3:9, people will go read it possibly. And I think that'll be profound.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We're out of time. Reverend Pike, thank you so much for your input.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
We'll continue with these directions. And once again, listeners, we'll listen in tomorrow, I hope. Be there. I'll be here. And we'll hope for the best. And pay attention to Reverend Pike, 503-631-3808. That's 503-631-3808. Good afternoon, good night, good evening.